John 14, 16 says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor or comforter to be with you forever." And I'd like to preach for a while this morning from the subject, the comforter. Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. Lord, I pray that you'll help me to teach your word accurately and to share what it is that you want to communicate with us, Lord. Give us open hearts and ears to hear it and receive it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday was May 4th. And Judy told me that I should preach on May the 4th be with you and preach on the Holy Spirit. I guess that's a thing from like Star Wars, May the 4th be with you or whatever. Well, as you know, I didn't. I instead spoke on pride makes you stupid, okay? Which I have to say, I need to go back and I have a whole bunch of sermon that I didn't get to preach on that I wouldn't mind. There's amazing how much stupidity there's in the Bible based on pride. You could go on and on and on. And I did want to distinguish. I specifically said pride makes you stupid, not dumb. Okay? Dumb to me means you don't have the ability to learn. Stupid means you could learn, but there's something that prevents you from being able to gain the information and the understanding that you otherwise could. And maybe another way of saying it is pride makes you really unaware. You're just not self-aware. People that are prideful are not self-aware. You ever meet people like that? They have no self-awareness. Politicians have a lot of that. Anyway, so she was saying, you know, you should preach on this on the Holy Spirit and the fourth be with you. Well, I didn't, but I did get me thinking about, in the course of thinking about Holy Spirit, and I started thinking about this passage about the Holy Spirit as our comforter and counselor, and I thought, that's Mom. And so I want to talk today about the idea of how there are parallels between Holy Spirit and mothers. And it's not a perfect parallel, but there's a lot there. As I study this and consider this, there's a lot to the parallel of mothers and Holy Spirit. So I want to read for you a passage from I want to read that opening passage only from the Amplified Bible. And the Amplified Bible is interesting if you ever pick one up, if you have one. What the Amplified Bible does is that the key words in a verse, it will give you all of the possible translations from the Greek. Because, as I said, like I kind of read two different versions here. Some versions call the Holy Spirit in John 14, 16 the Comforter. Some call him the Counselor. Some call him Helper. Okay? So there are possible different meanings of these words as you translate from one language to the other. And so that's what the Amplified does. When you read the Amplified, there'll be parentheses on the key words, and it'll give you all the possible translations. So John 14, 16 from the Amplified says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, comforter, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever." So these are the different descriptors, possibly as we translate the Greek word meaning counselor or comforter into the English. All these different roles that the Holy Spirit fills. And I read all those, I think, well, mothers fill all those roles too. Now, the one thing I want to say is we get here, the Holy Spirit, he's referred to he with a masculine pronoun. Don't get hung up with that because we're talking about Mother's Day, okay? Because we know God has both masculine and feminine characteristics, right? Because God created men and women, right? We're told in his image. So it's, but the Bible puts it in the masculine, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't and Holy Spirit have a feminine characteristics to them. So I want to examine this a little bit more and go through this very quickly and then get into some additional scripture. I want to read John 14, 16 again from the Amplified and just spend a few moments on these different terms. It says, "And I will ask the Father and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever." So I think about this right off the bat when the Holy Spirit is called comforter. I mean, who is more of a comforter in our lives? That is oftentimes when we think about moms, that's the primary thing that we think about, how she comes and she comforts. When you feel, I mean, you feel, small children feel ultimate comfort, protection, security in the arms of their mother. I mean, that is the primary role when we think about young children and mom. And yet, Holy Spirit is called our what? Our comforter. And here's the thing I think about when I think about that. Think about this, and this is what I want you to tie all the way through, Mom. You are a physical manifestation of what the role of the Holy Spirit plays in our lives. Because if Holy Spirit is a comforter, and Mom is the primary comforter of children, think how when you are anointed by the Holy Spirit to comfort, what a great comforter you can be. So think of yourself as that, filling that role that Holy Spirit fills in that child. So there's no one more capable of bringing comfort. I mean, when a small child, you know, falls down, wrecks the bike, whatever takes place, who are they going to run to when they're crying and their knees scraped up? Going to run to Mom, right? Because they need comfort. Get ready for that. Callie's riding a bike like a maniac now, man. We were over there the other night. She's all over the place. So, the unless you have an unusual child like Cassidy, when she wiped out on her Bible, she came to Judy all bleeding and everything going, Mom, don't worry. It's not as bad as it looks. I knew right then we had a little unusual. The next thing that goes on, oftentimes it's translated as counselor. No one is more interested in seeing a child get on the direct, you know, the good path of life, going the right direction, doing the right things, than Mom. So she's going to counsel. She's going to give, hopefully, wise advice. And again, it's the same thing. Do it under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Mom is a counselor. Holy Spirit is our counselor. And Holy Spirit will empower you to give your child the best counsel, the best advice. We go on next, and it says that Holy Spirit is a helper. Again, who's the primary helper for a child? Who's the primary helper for a child? Mom, right? I mean, so much of what in these early formative years, the helping and the learning that takes place is because Mom is there to do it. And Holy Spirit is the same way for us. Holy Spirit's role as helper is we live in a fallen world. God created us not to be fallen and not to live in a world that is fallen, but we do. So God did what? God gave us the Holy Spirit as a helper to help us live for Him in this fallen world. And that is a great role that Mom can provide for a child, to help them to live and know the right path and make the wise decisions when living in this fallen world, to just plain old be their helper. A mother is a child, it goes on and says that Mom is an intercessor or an advocate. Holy Spirit is an intercessor or an advocate. He is there advocating on our behalf. An intercessor is someone who speaks, makes a case for us, for a person. I mean, a lawyer is an advocate when they're defending you. We are called to intercede for others. Jesus is at the right hand of God, interceding for us. Well, Holy Spirit fulfills that role too, of interceding or advocating for us. Who's going to speak up more for a child more than Mom? So you can see, again, I'm just trying to make the point that the parallel between Mom and Holy Spirit, I think, is really legitimate. Mom is going to go to bat. Mom's going to stand up for a child more than she's going to. I mean, you know, they have a term nowadays. I think I may know. There may be somebody in there that has this as a part of her Twitter. Mama bear, am I right? Yeah, a mama bear, right? Don't mess with the mama bear. That's Jamie's Twitter. What is it? MAGA mama bear. Only it's X now. It's like. Jamie's the only real Twitter follower I have. All the rest of them are bots. So, and I know that doesn't mean anything to most of you. That term that's become very popular, mama bear, means don't mess with my kids. Because you want to see me get my hackles up, that'll do it. All right? So that idea of, again, of advocating and interceding and standing up for. Well, the nice thing is we all understand that and we see that. Mom will fill that role. But Holy Spirit does that for us as well. And we go on and it says strengthener. Strengthen, to make us stronger, to encourage. Again, a primary role of mom to encourage a child, to build them up. You know, so many times, kids, who do they go pour their heart out to when, you know, something happened? When Liza bullies them at school. I'm just using her own words, right? So they're going to go and say, hey, somebody's picking on me. Somebody's bullying me. I mean, or they say, I can't. I preached that as a Mother's Day sermon some years back. Can't never did anything. Because my mom always used to say, yeah, can't never did anything. Because she'd want me to do something. And of course, I didn't want to do it. So I said, I can't. Can't also died in the poorhouse. Right? So when we say, I can't, mom says, yeah, you can. Right? They're going to encourage us. They're going to strengthen us. They're going to build us up. Moms know the capability of a child more than the child does. So it's a mom's role to tell them, yes, you can do it. Here, let me show you how, or let me help you now, or you're just simply to strengthen them to believe that they indeed can do it. And ultimately, it says to stand by them. No one is going to stand by a child more than mom. There is nobody that will, when everybody else is gone, mom will still be there believing in that child. And that's the role that Holy Spirit plays for us too. Mom will always be by your side. She's never going to leave. So there's parallels that we see between the Holy Spirit and moms just from that one passage. But I want to look at another really fascinating, I hope this is insightful, to the role of Holy Spirit and mom. Go to John 1, verses 12 and 13. John 1, verses 12 through 13. It says, yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor a husband's will, but born of God. Now, I hope I can do this and make it make sense. We all understand that when God created man, he created man both male and female, right? And then his one instruction, well, he had two instructions, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and be fruitful and multiply. So we know it's God's design for a man and a woman, a mother and a father, to create a children, that both roles are necessary. Well, when man came into this world, we were perfect, right? When God created man, but we, since through Adam, we've all become sinful because we're all the product of Adam's fallen seed. So when we're born into the world, we're born sinful. That's why I always say there's nothing we can do about that. Salvation is primarily being saved from who we are, not from what we've done, because we're sinful at conception, as we're told in John 1:39. So, what did I just say? Psalm 139. Did I say John? Psalm 139. So, we're sinful at conception. So now the problem is, we have God who wants to be our Heavenly Father, but we're separated from him through sin, right? So now we are told we must be born again, John 3:3, right? So we must be born again. God is going to be our Heavenly Father. Who's going to be our mother in that conception? That's this new birth conception that has to take place. Holy Spirit, you guys are one ahead. Good for you. You're one step ahead of me. John 3, verses 3 through 6 says, in reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter the womb a second time into his mother's womb and be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of the water and the Spirit. Well, we know the role of God. He's our heavenly Father. So it seems to me that the role that the Spirit plays, if we must be born of the Spirit, Holy Spirit plays the role of mother. Now, you can disagree with me on that one. I will admit, it does not say that. This is my understanding, okay? So I encourage you, go home, read your Bible, study it for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. So if I have to be spiritually reborn, I have to be given birth by the Spirit. Well, I already know who Dad is. And if God designed man for birth to take place through husband and wife, and I know who the husband is, who the father is, then Holy Spirit must serve the role of mother. So we have that in all of our role, in all of our rebirth as salvation. But it goes beyond that. Holy Spirit plays a role in all new birth. That is how people get saved. That is how people come into the kingdom. Let's go to Acts 2, verse 38 through 41. It says, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. 3,000 people were added, it says, to that day. So 3,000 people received Jesus as their Savior. They were born again. If that happened, who was causing it to happen? What happened on this? What happened on this day that I'm reading? Who knows what was going on this day? Baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's the day of Pentecost, the day that the Holy Spirit was poured out. Holy Spirit came and for the first time lived inside of mankind, as denoted by the tongues of fire that rested upon all those who were there. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, guess what happened when Holy Spirit... Now, we'll see if I get struck by lightning when I say this. When Holy Spirit / mom showed up. Okay, so they got born again. They got born again, 3,000 that day. That is a role that the Holy Spirit plays. We're told in John, I didn't put this down, but John tells us the Spirit will convict the world of sin, judgment, and righteousness. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our need of new birth. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our need of salvation, that we are lost, that we are sinful, that we are separated from God. So he convicts us according to in regard to our sin, judgment, and righteousness. You're sinful, judgment is coming, but you can be made righteous. Holy Spirit convicts us about that. And when we do that, when we realize that, when we receive the conviction of the Holy Spirit, then he can turn us to God and we can be born again. Are you with me still? Have I lost you? Have you saying Randy's gone crazy, man? This is nuts. Well, yes, I am, but not because of this, okay? I'm nuts on my own, but I'm reading the Bible right now, so that's what keeps me sane. Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. Listen to this, folks, because you need to understand this. As we operate, and why we need to operate in the gifts of Holy Spirit. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. We call this the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very ends of the age. This is what I said, the Great Commission. Jesus is telling his disciples right before he ascends to heaven, you need to go and make disciples. Now, if people are being made into disciples, they're getting saved, right? They're getting born again. You cannot become a disciple of Jesus unless you have been born again. So they are being born again. Our job, the Great Commission, is to go and bring salvation to the world and cause disciples to take place. But we can only do that if indeed, as I am proposing this morning, Holy Spirit has this motherly role that new birth comes through to bring us, to join us to the Father, then we must do this under the anointing of Holy Spirit. The fulfillment of the Great Commission is Holy Spirit going out and fulfilling this motherly role, causing new birth to take place so that people can, in fact, be joined to their Heavenly Father. That's how we become children of God. Mothers like the Holy Spirit will give us direction. They'll lift us up in things that we don't know about, things that we don't think that we're capable of. Romans 8:14 says, because those who are led by the Spirit are God. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So mothers, of course, we talked earlier, they give us guidance and direction, right? What does it say here in Romans 8:14? Those who are led by, those who are given guidance or direction by Holy Spirit are what? Sons or children of God. So when we obey the Holy Spirit, we become our Heavenly Father's children. And as we read earlier, Holy Spirit, one of the roles that it fills is to give us, He is to give us guidance and direction. And so when we follow Him, He's going to lead us to God so that we indeed become His children, and He is our Heavenly Father. Acts 10, verses 19 through 20 says, while Peter was still thinking about this vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. The Holy Spirit is doing what I just got done saying. The Holy Spirit came to Peter and said, look, go that way, go with them. Holy Spirit is speaking to Peter and giving him guidance and direction. He's telling him, because Peter's just had a vision of God letting down this big sheep with all these animals in it, and God tells him to kill and eat, right? But Peter says, oh, we don't eat unclean animals. And God says, don't call anything unclean that I've made clean, because He's about to send him to who, Jew or Gentile? Gentile. Holy Spirit is giving him guidance, giving him direction, giving him wisdom and understanding. And so He's just shown him this vision, and then He says, now there's some men that are coming for you. Don't hesitate. Get up and go with them. Holy Spirit, just like a motherly role, gives us instruction, gives us understanding, gives us guidance, gives us direction. Acts 13:2 says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Now, at this point, Paul is being still referred to as Saul, right? Because what had Saul been up to? Persecuting and even at times killing Christians, right? So when Saul got saved on the road to Damascus, and then he got up and he asked, who are you? And Lord, and he says, it's Jesus who you persecute. And so Saul realized the error of his ways, and he surrendered his life to Jesus. But how do you think the other Christians, how do you think they felt about Saul? What were we told? What do we know about it? They were like, nah, I don't think so. Nah, we don't trust you any farther than we can throw you, because we know what you've been up to, right? But here, so when nobody else thinks Saul can do it, you know who thought he could do it? Holy Spirit. Because it says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, oh yeah, Saul, oh yeah, he can do it. No matter how many failures he's had in the past, I know what he's created for, and I know what he's capable of, so set him apart, he can do it. That sounds like Mom. I know that you've had a hard time before, but you can do it. I know it hasn't maybe always worked out, but don't give up. You are still useful. You can do it. You can do it. Some of you will get that reference. I don't encourage you to, don't look it up if you don't know it. I just love that it says the Holy Spirit set Saul apart. Not Paul, not the great Paul who we think of when it's writing, you know, half the New Testament. He is setting apart Saul, who's out imprisoning and killing Christians. Mothers always are there to expand our understanding. We often learn to see the world. A child learns to see the world through the mother's eyes and the mother's understanding. Ephesians 3, verses 3 through 6 says, that is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has been revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ. It says that this mystery was made known by revelation. And then in verse 5, it says, revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles and prophets. Well, they were directed by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is saying gives us understanding of the gospel, something that had been hidden. The gospel, the gospel that we think of today and we think we understand so easily, it's like, oh yeah, I get it. You know, Jesus is God's son come to earth. God come to earth in human form, lived on earth, suffered and died for my sins, rose so that I could have new life. Yeah, the gospel, we get it. Well, that was a mystery up until then. The people of Israel didn't understand it. The Gentiles certainly didn't understand it. You know who revealed that mystery? Who gave understanding? Who allowed? This is the world as God saw it. The world is lost and it needs to be saved. And this is how it works. It's the gospel that's going to cause it. The understanding came through Holy Spirit. Just like a mom reveals and shows a child the world, they see the world through mom's eyes. We see the world through the Holy Spirit's eyes. The world is lost and it is dying, but there is hope, there is salvation through Jesus Christ. And that's why the Holy Spirit empowers us to go out and make disciples of the world and preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. Have I lost it here this morning? Am I on solid ground here? Do you see? A little swampy, but moms, all these great roles you're given, think how much better it is that when you do it under the leading of Holy Spirit, how much more powerful it is. I think that you can view yourself that you are the hands and feet and arms and legs and mouth of Holy Spirit to your child if you allow Him to work through you. Let me close with this. John 14, verses 25 through 27. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Moms will remind you. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Mothers are a child's first and primary teacher. Amen? She teaches them and reminds them of everything that she has taught them and all the things that they need to know. That is the primary role of mom. And, you know, dads serve a very significant and strong role in a child's life too. But when that child needs love, and that child scrapes its knee, and that child needs comfort, and that child needs somebody who just accepts them for who they are and will tell them what they're capable of and build them up, that child is going to mom 100% of the time. And so what she does is she'll teach them, and she'll remind them, and she'll encourage them and advocate for them and comfort them. There is a peace and comfort, ultimately, that only a mother is able to give their child. We know that when mother is fulfilling her God-given role, that for that child, everything is right with the world. When everything else is crazy, and mom comes, and mom speaks those loving words and puts her arms around him, everything is right with the world. You know what's amazing about that, too? I found that with kids. When you have a horrible day and you come home and your kid or your grandkid comes to you and hops in your lap and puts their arm around you, you can have had the worst day ever and they tell you they love you, all that stuff goes away. I wish you could harness that kind of power. That kind of power is more powerful than a nuclear weapon. Because you've had the worst day you could think you've ever had and everything goes wrong and everything. And you come home, and that child smiles at you and puts their arm around you, and all that disappears. It doesn't mean anything to you. You wouldn't trade anything for that. And if you don't have a kid, you get a dog. The axe murderer's dog loves him too. I prefer a kid, but everything is right with the world for that child. Likewise, when we are filled and led by the Holy Spirit, we know that we can overcome this world. Amen? When we have the power of the Holy Spirit working through us, we know that we can overcome this world. Just like the child is reassured that they can overcome this world when mom says everything is okay. Because we know that we are not of this world. The Holy Spirit empowers us to overcome it. Through our rebirth of the Holy Spirit, we belong eternally to our Heavenly Father. We can overcome this world. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. Mom is our comforter. Happy Mother's Day.